Everybody wants a bite. Don't happen overnight.
So you wanna be a rock superstar and live large, big house, five cars, you're in charge, coming up in the world. Don't trust nobody, gotta look over your shoulder constantly. I remember the days when I was a young kid.
All right, boys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the Road to the NFL series here at the National Football Post. As always, I am your honored host, Joe Fortenball, joined by Wes Bunning, our director of college scouting. The Final Four is set. Bunning, how did those brackets fare for you? Before we get down to football business, let's see how bad you got shredded.
Oh, Joe, I'm not even allowed out of my attic upstairs to watch anything besides tape. And you're going to expect me to do well in the NCAA tournament? So.
Well, every now and again, you throw something up against the wall and it sticks. So what was your Final Four originally?
Kentucky, Kansas State, Villanova, and Pitt, I believe. So, not exactly sure how it all played out, but I think I had Kentucky and Kansas State in the final, went with the all-thug teams.
Two words on how it played out was not good. I can tell you that much. Not good is the answer to your question. Nova stunk. I had Baylor, but they got beat by Duke. I did have WVU, I should say, but it doesn't really matter. Had Kansas go in the distance like everyone else. And had K-State in that bracket as well, but they got thumped by Butler, which was Jim Nance's sleeper pick of the tournament, and I failed to listen to that, so that'll teach me. But, all right, well, listen, basketball futility aside, let's get back to something we know a little bit about here. We're a month out from the draft, starting to close in 3 days. We're getting live chats flowing. You've been doing a great job with that. Today we talked to Carlton Mitchell from the University of South Florida, wide receiver. Before we get him on the line, for those out there who don't know much about Carlton, tell them what they should know heading into this interview and also into the draft.
Well, this is one of the elite size speed prospects in this year's draft. 6'3", 4'4 speed, can get down the field consistently, a big-time vertical threat potential at the next level. Now, he is raw, isn't a real clean route runner, struggles to adjust to the football, and will put the ball on the ground. But the upside's there for this guy to become a legit number one type player in the NFL.
Tell me a little bit about why, when you look him up and you see his numbers from South Florida, they don't exactly jump out at you. He didn't have over 800 yards receiving, but that has to do with the scheme and the system at South Florida. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Grothy, the senior quarterback that went down this year, they like to run a lot of option, a lot of spread option, run the football with the quarterback, consistently pound the rock, and then they work. When they do throw the football, it's always 4 or 5 wide, dink and dunk underneath, and they're sending Mitchell down the field. So he does make his fair share of big plays, but with so many talents at wide receiver, running back, and quarterback, it's tough for him to consistently get the football.
And it's one of those, I don't even know how to say it, but a lot of times that's what we notice with the wide receivers, more so than any other position on the offensive side of the ball, skill position wise. You know, a good running back's always going to roll up numbers, but a great receiver might not, solely because of the system he's in. But it's what he does with those touches that counts. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You look at Demaryius Thomas from Georgia Tech, Carl Mitchell from South Florida. These two don't get a ton of footballs thrown their way, but you look at the high yards per reception average, right up there with the best in the country.
All right, well then, rather have you talk about Carlton and have me talk about Carlton. Why don't we talk to him and get some answers that way? Maybe shed a little bit more light on this situation rather than listening to two talking heads here project a guy from South Florida. So let's get to it. Today we're switching back to the offensive side of the football as we welcome in University of South Florida wide receiver Carlton Mitchell. Carlton, we appreciate you stopping by and taking some time out of your busy day. How's everything been going for you?
Everything's going real great. You know, I'm back in Tampa. I'm still continuing my training to my pro day. And I'm just still, you know, keeping to myself, staying low-key until after pro day. And I'm really looking forward to the future. You know, things are looking very good, and I'm very excited about how things are working out.
Excellent, excellent. Now, with the draft less than 1 month away, tell us what a typical day in your life has been like right now as you prepare for the big moment next month.
Let's see. I wake up probably every day around 7:45, 8 o'clock, and then I head down to my USF campus, the old practice field, and I do a little speed work, I do a little stretching, and I normally take about 2 hours. So I go home, I eat, I take a nap, and I come back, and I catch about 200 to 300 balls on a jug machine before USF starts the spring practice. And then, because I don't want to get there and take time away from the program and then try to, you know, just I don't want no focus to go towards me during that spring practice. So I just want to, you know, get in and stay out of the way and get some work done. And then I say about 3 o'clock every day I'm finished with my day. So I just stay at home and I take naps and watch cartoons, relax, really.
Damn, 200 to 300 a day, Wes.
Yeah, Carlton, yeah. That's absolutely unreal. So I take it your hands is one of the biggest things you've been concentrating on so far this after the season?
I've been working on pretty much everything from, you know, plucking the ball, keeping away from my body, coming out my breaks better, you know, just working on separation a lot. But, you know, I feel as though you can never catch too many balls. And just, you know, I have a lot of free time on my hands. So, and we have a lot of equipment to manage at USF, and they're willing to help. And, you know, I'm always willing to work. But just, you know, around 250 to 260, sometimes 300 balls a day is just something I'm trying to do, like, every day, you know, until, as much as I can to pro day.
Carlton, you redshirted as a freshman and announced in January that you were going to skip your senior season to turn pro. Tell us a little bit about what went into that decision. Was that a tough decision for you to make?
It was a very tough decision, actually. You know, the first, you know, just coming out, then, you know, it was a lot going into the process. But at the same time, once I had my mind made up, I realized, you know, my passion and my love for the game, you know, really, I feel as though I think a lot different from other people, you know. And, you know, I didn't come out for money. I didn't come out because of Coach Levis, you know, his situation. I actually declared before that happened. But it's just, you know, me personally, I know mentally I'm there. I'm ready. And physically I'm there. But as a complete player, I know I'm not there. I know I could have stayed back in college for another year for experience. But at the same time, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to step into someone else's team and, you know, compete, you know, and just try to contribute to their team as whatever role they need me as, you know. So I think whatever lies ahead, I'll be ready for.
Were there a lot of people that doubted the decision? Did you have kind of like a split camp, or were most people on board with you and supported what your decision to go pro?
Well, I called Coach Levis first, and I told him everything, what was going on, and how I felt about turning pro, and I called my offensive coordinator. Then I called Coach Phil McGagan, my position coach, and all three of the coaches pretty much said the same thing. They respect my decision 100%. And they said they're all going to miss me, but at the same time, they knew my mindset. They know how I think, they know the type of player I am, and they know my dedication. So they all said I'll be ready and I'll be fine. But then, you know, there's always someone that's saying, you know, I made the wrong decision, or I did this, I did that. But, you know, I just keep my immediate family around me. You know, just, you know, me and my mom, we prayed a lot, and I talked to my sister, my grandma, you know, and just something that we kept in our little circle. So really it was just our decision, and I didn't really focus on what other people had to say.
Carlton, can you talk about your combine experience a bit? One of the best, if not the best, side speed receiver prospect in this year's draft, 6'3", running in the 4.4 range. Were you happy with your combine results, and what are you looking to improve the most at your pro day?
First off, the combine I feel as though it was a trip of a lifetime, you know, it was the longest weekend of my life, but at the same time, I had a great time, you know, because it's something I could always see myself doing as I was younger. And just being in that situation, it was a true blessing. I really loved it a lot. But as far as my, you know, my performance-wise, I would have had a little bit of an off day, you know. You know, running a 4.4, jumping a 10.2, having 36-inch vert and all that, you know, those are, they're good numbers, you know. But at the same time, you know, I'm never really satisfied with myself. I feel as though I could do better. And that's why I'm looking forward to my pro day, because I had, you know, these few weeks to just fine-tune a little bit of everything, you know. So I feel as though my combine was a success, but at the same time, I'm not really, you know, just happy with it all the week. You know, there's still something I need to change, and there's always something I need to change. I'll never say I'm complete, you know. So I'm really looking forward to my pro day.
From a numbers perspective, I'll support the decision that the combine was a success. You were in the top 10 amongst the wideout position in the 40, the bench, the broad jump. Great numbers all the way around. Tell us a little bit more about that day that you go through there. We've talked to a few other players, and they say kind of the same thing, one of the longest weekends of their lives. You're up at 6 a.m. every morning. You're getting poked and prodded at the hospital. Then you meet with the team doctors. Then you've got the workouts, and you meet with teams at night. You know, it's hard to prepare for an experience like that because you've never done anything like that before. But was it, like, overwhelming to you when you got there, how much they had you doing throughout the day?
It wasn't really overwhelming, but at the same time, you know, just something, you know, it was something I expected, really. I didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into, but everybody who I spoke to about the combine said the same thing, how everything is scheduled up, and you're probably going to get about 3 to 4 hours of sleep total the whole weekend. And just, you know, just going through the whole process and the doctors poking and pulling on you, sitting in front of the GMs and coaches in the interviews, you know, just doing all the stuff that everyone talked about, you know, it's kind of exciting. You know, I kind of look forward to a lot of things that happen, even though, like, my body and my mind, I was so drained. But at the same time, it was just, you know, it's a business trip. And you're not going to be able to go there ever again unless, you know, Lord's will, one day I'm done with football and I become a coach. But just the whole process, it was the longest weekend of my life. But it wasn't tough, but it wasn't easy, you know. So it was a very positive thing.
But it's very warm and tropical in Indianapolis that time of year. Did you get any sunshine or no?
But there was no sunshine at all.
Yeah, I was there. Scarf, gloves, hat. Wes, you see me. I complain the whole time when I'm outside.
Yeah, but the good thing was you didn't lose any gloves this year, Joe.
So. I know. Carlton, every year I lose one glove when I'm walking down the street, so I walk around like an idiot with one glove on one hand and one hand completely bare. Smart. That's not what a, as a wide receiver, you can't do that, though. You got to protect those hands.
I gave my gloves away to somebody who needed them more than me, one of my trainers. She misplaced her gloves, so I just gave her mine, and, you know, I figured I'd be all right.
You know what? That's a nice act. All I do is I lose them, and I complain about them, and then I yell at Wes and try to blame him for it. So, yeah, a little bit different. Maybe I should try being a little bit more nicer each year, but Wes, go ahead.
Carlton, the emergence of South Florida in the Big East these last couple of years have really helped the conference as a whole emerge as one of the, you know, the better conferences in America this year. Some of the cornerback play, I mean, you going head-to-head with some of your teammates week in and week out, and particularly Jerome Murphy at practice. What has that done to help you emerge as a receiver, and who's the best cornerback prospect that you faced all year outside of your teammate?
Let's see. Best cornerback I ever won against was okay, there's a few. All right. When I first got there, the best one I ever went against, it was Mike Jean. He's with the Cowboys in the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would have to say the very first 7-on-7 I had, it was on a little practice field. We had no pads on, nothing. You know, I'm coming straight from high school, and the first play, he jammed me up with one hand. And I think the other hand was behind his back. So, you know, that moment, that was a pretty humbling moment, you know, just coming from high school and trying to adjust to the game speed. But just competing all year with him, and then at the same time, going against Jerome Murphy and Nate Allen, like, those are very good athletes. The God-given talent is amazing. You know, just, they all have their own style of play, you know. And, you know, Murph's so aggressive. He'll come down, he'll hit you, and he has good hips. He's real quick. Same with Nate. Like, he's a playmaker. He's always there in every spot. You know, he has good speed, and he studies film. And, you know, just playing, going against those guys every day, I think it really, well, I know it really helped me as a player, like, overall. But I have to say, opponent-wise, the best one I went against, I have to say, Patrick Robinson from my FSU. You know, because that was a pretty big game. And I watched a lot of film on him. I watched a lot of film every week. But, you know, I had to watch a lot of film on him because he kind of plays like Jerome Murphy. He's very aggressive. But at the same time, I had to figure out what hand he's dealing with, and, you know, I had to figure out what depth he got to before he really turned into a back pedal and turned his hips and flipped and ran. But, you know, we thought we was going to talk to him a lot more. But just the fact that a few games before that, you know, the next three teams see the last two games you had on film. So I realized that the corner and the safety was rolling coverage over kind of to my side, which actually freed up a lot of other players on my team. So even though we didn't target Patrick Robinson a lot as much as I wanted to personally, because, you know, I wanted to compete against him, just me not getting the ball that game really helped the offense a lot. And other guys got the ball, and it was a win. So, I mean, I hate to lose. That's, like, the main thing, rather. I mean, anything I can do to win, I'm going to do. But just something like that. On film, I would say Patrick Robinson is the best because he's the fastest and most aggressive and his overall player.
All good players. Wes, we saw a bunch of those guys he named at the Senior Bowl, too, and they had a pretty good week down there for the South team. So definitely some good competition. Carlton, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I love this in your bio, your mother, Angela, is the cut man for light heavyweight boxer Antonio Tarver. Talk a little bit about what that has been like. I'm one of the few people still out there that watches all the boxing I can see. I've always been into it. I've always liked Tarver. What's it like growing up around that? Have you incorporated any of that into your game, talking footwork more so than a right hook or an uppercut?
Let's see. I knew Antonio since I was about 12 years old. And, you know, my mom, she's an anesthesiologist, so don't know exactly how it all worked out, but she started with amateur fights. I guess one day they were shortcut, man. So one of the guys was like, hey, you can do this because, you know, you're in the medical field and this and that. So my mom said, okay. And ever since then, she started, you know, she fell in love with that. So she started doing more amateur fights. And then, you know, we're already close to Antonio, so he needed a cut, man. Well, she called it a cut woman now. But he needed a cut woman, so she was in his corner. And just things started working out so smoothly, you know. And just, I ended up going to a lot of the fights and just seeing my mom and Tony in the ring together and stuff like that, you know, just, you know, it's a very exciting moment. But at the same time, you know, just going to his training, like watching his sparring matches and talking to his trainers, you know, Jimmy, one of his, like, the trainer he has now, he's also a close friend, my close friend, my mom's close friend. He gave me a jump rope. I mean, it has nothing to do really with football and boxing, but just something so simple as a jump rope. He had me jump roping every day in the summer for 30 minutes to an hour. Every day, just stand in the mirror. I put my iPod on. I just zone out. He had me do certain types of jumps. And just that alone helped my full body condition, helped with feet work, helped with your arms. You know, it's just like a full body workout and stuff like that. That helped also contribute over to the field. So just, and you know, there's a lot that goes into boxing. You know, a lot of people think it's just two guys in the ring just knocking and punching each other. But there's strategy and there's so much into it. It's amazing.
Tarver's known for the left cross he throws. Did he teach you that?
What do you think?
One of Antonio Tarver's best punches is the left cross. That's one of the punches he's known for. He ever show you how to throw that, or do you like throw something else?
Oh no, I'm I watch a little bit. You know, I just I'm not really a boxer. That's not me. I'll probably be a good boxer. I have quick hands and I have long reach, but that's not my thing.
Carlton, when we brought up, you know, the best players that you faced, right away with Michael Jenkson, you talk about his ability to press you off the line with one hand. Jerome Murphy, physical press man. Patrick Robinson, another physical press guy. Can you talk about your development in becoming a guy that's at 6'3", with 4'4 speed, being able to beat press coverage? And do you think that's a strong suit of your game, or is it something you still need to work on?
I think that's something, obviously, I always want to work on something in my game. You know, I don't think I'm all the way there, getting off press. But at the same time, I feel very consistent. You know, Jink was very great at pressing receivers. Jerome's very great at pressing receivers. But at the same time, like, watching film on them, going against them every day, you figure out how each player is playing. And same thing with Patrick Robinson. You know, on film, he pressed everybody he went up against, you know. But at the same time, when we went up there to Tallahassee, he came up to press, but he didn't jam me. He played motor mirror technique, which I understood why. Because if he pressed and, you know, I end up beating him off the line, you know, the safety won't get over in time. We can hit him in the, you know, the cover two window or whatnot. So just, it was a very smart strategy he played, but at the same time, it's all about film work. So just having more than one move under your belt, rather than just doing the same thing over and over, it works. It's very good to your advantage, you know. And also the most important thing I would say is film work, just knowing what hand they jam with, what foot comes up, and what down to this, you know, just. Just little stuff like that is very important to be successful.
Moving forward and going back to the combine a little bit, and moving forward, you've got the pro day coming out. You know, we're less than a month from the draft. Which teams have you been talking to, and do you have any workout scheduled coming up with anybody that's been showing some interest?
Actually, I had a nice handful of visits set up for April. I had a few team workouts, and I would love to tell you who the seniors were, but I had one coach looking in my eyes and tell me not tell anyone I worked you out. And it's one of the coaches, you know, I looked up to. So just have them look at me in the eyes and tell me that, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, I can't do it. I apologize.
Well, no, that's all right. You got to do what the coaches say.
Yes, sir, always.
We're not the ones that are going to be sending you those checks every week.
All right, Carlton, this is the last one for me. But we've talked about your size, speed, and tangibles. Who's the one receiver that you really modeled your game after growing up in high school and college, and who do you think you can be like in the NFL?
One receiver? Honestly, I can't really give you just one receiver because I'm the type. Well, I want to say still, but, you know, I want to take a little bit from each player, you know. First off, always Jerry Rice. I love Jerry Rice. You know, his work ethic and just how he plays the game. You know, he's not the fastest player, but, you know, he's amazing. You know, he's great. And, you know, players like, you know, even Terrell Owens, you know, not just not like the person who he is, but how he plays on the field. Everyone has the little thing, like Chad Ochocinco or Larry Fitzgerald. Everyone has the, you know, the little thing that they do. I try to take a little bit from each player no matter who it is, new, old player, new school, you know, it's just, you know, Brandon Marshall, I love how Brandon Marshall plays. He, like, he's big, strong, and fast, and he always makes the first guy miss, and I love his spin move he does, you know, when he gets in a little bind, and he's very aggressive. So just the fact that I could just try to watch film on each player and just take a little bit what makes them successful, I try to add it to my game, you know. So whatever I can do to better myself, I'm going to do it. So, you know, that's really the main thing. I'm not really – I can't really say just one receiver. I'm sorry. I don't want to mess up the question.
Well, let me get this straight. So you're a combination of Jerry Rice, Chad Ochocinco, T.O., Fitzgerald, and Brandon Marshall. Is that what we're getting, Carlton?
I mean, I don't want to be quoted on that, but I like all of them. You know, I try to fill a little bit from each player, you know, and I want to better myself. I want to win. I don't care. I want to get the ball 1,000 times a game, 100 times a game, if that's possible. At the same time, I'm not just limited in just one aspect of my game, you know. I'm a vertical threat, yes, but at the same time, I feel as though I can play all three spots, one, two, or three. Coaching to be a decoy, to just line up and have a mismatch, I'm going to do that. You know, like a player like Devin Hester, you know, he came in, he was asked, they gave him a very small role, and he took that role, he turned it to a game-changing performance. You know, he's won games, you know, just returning kicks and whatnot. You know, something small like that. For coach, like each team, I would say every team needs a receiver, but each team doesn't need a receiver the same reason as another team does. You know, one team can need it for someone to come in and make an immediate impact on the team. Another team come in, so someone be a decoy, or someone needs a receiver to come in and, you know, be a special teams guy. And whatever that role is, I plan on coming in and making an immediate impact at that role, whatever it is. You know, game changing, whether it's running down on kickoffs, wedge busting, I don't care. Because if the coaches want to win, I want to win. That's the main thing. That's the main thing the coaches really want from their team, you know, from their players. Because I understand early, and I'm 21 years old, I'm a junior, I came out, but at the same time, I understand everything that's going on. I understand it's a business, and the NFL does not need me, and I know that. You know, there's always someone bigger, stronger, or faster, so this opportunity that I'm going to have, you know, in less than a month, like I'm taking everything in. You know, I'm very blessed, I'm very fortunate, I'm looking forward to every opportunity I get. So I don't want to sound like generic and everyone like a robot, but that's how I'm super how I feel, you know? So I'm really looking forward to everything.
Spoken like a true professional. University of South Florida wide receiver Carlton Mitchell. Carlton, hey man, thank you for stopping by. We really appreciate it. Best of luck to you over the next few weeks with all the workouts, the training, and we wish you the best of luck on draft day, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for reaching out.
You got it. All right, that was wide receiver from South Florida, Carlton Mitchell. Wes, what do you think? A great interview, well-spoken guy. He's got some workouts coming up, some secret workouts we're not allowed to know about. But all in all, a very well-spoken young man. Seems to have a very good work ethic.
Yeah, and his pro day is going to be huge coming up next week. If he runs a little better than he did at the NFL Combine, I expect this guy to really blow up, Joe. Wouldn't surprise me at all for him to be a second rounder. Team takes him based on his upside and potential. Could end up being a legit number one wide receiver prospect in the NFL.
And like you've written before, very talented, obviously foregoing the senior year that could help him, but you see him as the type of guy that it's the only knock against him is maybe a little bit more polished, but that's something that can be coached from a good staff in the NFL. So really, this guy coming out now, this could be very well the right move. He could be an impact. Do you see him being an impact player in the first year?
I don't know in the first year, Joe. I mean, he might be a guy who can make some big plays vertically down the field. But what you have, I like to compare him to, is a brilliant piece of clay. And if you put him in the right piece of hands and you mold him correctly, he can end up being a masterpiece.
How well spoken. You should be giving tours at the Vatican rather than breaking down NFL prospects. But so well said.
Did you like that?
A piece of brilliant piece of clay. Put that on Twitter. Just put that on Twitter. See what type of responses you get. But all right,
I'm coming for you on Twitter too, Joe.
I know. I see you're breathing down my neck. I'm going to fall. I'm going to be in dead last from all the guys at the NFP. I'm going to be in dead last, the butt of it. And the worst part is I had like the 5-month head start on everybody. So it just goes to show you how many people out there care about what I have to say. But all right, enough of that. To everyone out there who tuned in, we appreciate it. We're going to keep pumping the interviews, the podcast, the mock drafts out from now until draft day. So once again, thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Don't happen overnight. So you want to be a rock superstar and live long.